here for everyone, primarily from 3 years old right on upwards. And we're going to have the kids come in, the bus ministry kids, our driving kids. Everybody's going to meet right up here. We're going to have kind of an opening, maybe geared a little bit towards the children somewhat, but you'll get to hear them sing choruses and different things. And I think it'll be kind of a good addition to our Sunday school. Number one, be another way for them to get to know me, their preacher, a little bit. I'm excited about that. And 9:45, we're just going to meet up here and, of course, like I said, sing some choruses and maybe recognize birthdays and just a few different neat things like that, and to add to our ministry. So I want you to be a part of it. Come on in. Make sure we're here on time. And I want you to be a part of it. And I think that'll be a lot of fun. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read several verses here. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read verses 41 through 52. Luke chapter 2, 41, verses 41 through 52. And let's stand as we do so for the reading of the Word of God, and we'll read responsively tonight. I'll start with verse 41. We'll all read 42 and so on. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask you now to be with us as we preach to this evening. I pray, Lord, that you'll fill thy servant with your power. Open hearts now, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Very familiar story here. Jesus and his parents went to the annual feast of the Passover in Jerusalem. Jesus was 12 years old. When the feast was over, of course, as the story goes here, when the feast was over, Mary and the family headed back home, Mary and Joseph. Jesus, unbeknownst to them, somehow stayed behind. Mary and Joseph had left the day's journey, assumed that Jesus was with family and friends. The Bible says that, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They sought him amongst their kinsfolk. You know, I can imagine here for a moment how Mary must have felt. They went a day's journey, no Jesus. I'll go back to a quick story. I am in no way, obviously, Jesus, but I can kind of know how Jesus may have felt here. You know, of course, Mary and Joseph left Jerusalem, and they went a day's journey. I'm not sure how you can go ahead and forget your son. I'm not sure how that all worked, you know. But when I was a child, and I was actually about 10 or 11 years old, our church, our pastor, a new pastor, came to town, and we had joined his church, and he started right from the ground up. We met in several different buildings at first, and then finally we secured a Grange Hall, an old Grange Hall that was our church for a while. We rented it out, and we all were fellowshipping after church one Sunday morning, and remember my parents had invited some friends over for lunch that day, and somehow I got left. Well, how did it happen? Well, you know, I was using a certain facility course as a child, and I came out and all the lights were off. I said, well, my parents must obviously be out in the car waiting for their son. I got out there, nobody was there. Now, I was about 4 miles away from my home. I go, now that's strange. Back in the day when there was no cell phones, back in the day when I was a kid, I didn't have any money. I didn't have a dime back. That was when phone calls, okay, and your pay phones were 10 cents. That was quite a while back. Anyways, I'm aging myself, but I didn't know. I said, okay, the only thing that I knew to do. I said, I'm going to walk home. I said, what was I going to do? Surely my parents are going to figure out, okay, that they forgot their son. All right, surely they're going to do that. So anyways, I kept on walking 1 mile. I kept on walking 2 miles. I kept on walking the third mile. We were 3 or 4 miles from home. And, you know, this was an hour or two at least. And finally, of course, a friend showed up. They thought that the friends that we were having over for lunch, I maybe went with them and I was going to be brought to our house with them. They asked, where's Sean? I don't know where your son is, you know. And finally, when they found me, I was within a half a mile of being home. Anyways, you feel bad yet? Okay, all right. Okay, moving along. But I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure how Mary, a mother, you know, could go ahead and leave her son. But I can imagine how she felt. I can imagine she was thinking, oh, Joseph, I am a bad mom. Joseph, I can't believe I left my son. I can't believe we did this. I could just see that. Of course, they turned around, the Bible says, and they looked for Jesus, and maybe they came back into Jerusalem. They were thinking, where could he be? Maybe the candy store? I don't know. Maybe scoured the area. I have no idea. But the Bible says, of course, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and answering them. These educated men, the doctors, they were amazed by his understanding and brilliance. His mother goes to him and asks him, why have thou done this, or why have thou dealt with us, Jesus? Why did you do this? Your father and I, we've been worried sick. We've been sorrowing for you. We've been concerned. And of course, Jesus answered her, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? I think in a way, he may have been saying, Mom, I get it now. You know, Jesus was born in unusual, very unusual birth. Jesus, we know the story, of course, how Mary was conceived of the Holy Ghost and how he was going to go ahead and be the Savior of the world. We know that story and how Jesus was born in a stable, a cold stable at that. I think maybe he was saying, Mom, you know, I get it now. I understand why I was born. See, I wonder if Jesus ever wondered, why was I born in a stable? I wonder if he ever asked, Mom, tell me about my childbirth. I wonder if he ever knew prior to this moment that he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. I wonder if he maybe knew prior to this that Joseph really wasn't his real dad, obviously. I believe it was this particular time that Jesus found out the reason why he was born. We just stop and say this. We all have a purpose in life. We all have a purpose in life. It doesn't matter where you've been, what path you've trod down, we all have a purpose. You know, that main purpose is to glorify God. When God came in, when Jesus came in to save you, now our purpose is to glorify him. Our purpose is to go ahead and bring him joy. As I mentioned, I believe it was this time that Jesus found his purpose. I believe maybe it might have been this time as a 12-year-old boy, he found out some things. He did some business between him and his heavenly father. And I believe it was this time that he realized, hey, you know what? I've got a different life ahead of me. I'm not like the other boys and girls. I'm tempted and subject to like passions as they are, but I'm not going to know any sin. That's what the Bible says. I'm not going to be like the other boys and girls. There's something different. And I believe maybe at this time, I happen to believe that maybe at this time, because he was doing some holy business between him, the Son of God, and God the Father, he found out why it was that he was born, what his purpose was. As I mentioned before, we were all born with a purpose. We're all born to glorify God. We're all to glorify God on our job. We're all to glorify God in our ministry. We're all to glorify God as we raise our family. If we're saved tonight, we're born into God's family, and I thank God that I'm born into the family of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus. You know what? We are part of royalty. Jesus is the King of Kings. We sang, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. There's a song also, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of his love. You know what? We are joint heirs with Jesus. We are born into royalty, if you will, once we get saved. So that means we too must continually be about our Father's business. I'm not necessarily talking about the business of your earthly dad. I'm talking about our heavenly Father. And tonight, I'm going to give a few areas. Might be brief, more brief tonight. Testing 1, 2, there I am. I'm going to go ahead and give a few areas to see. That might be brief, I don't know. The way things are going right now, you know, you might be encouraged if you saw my notes. I guess it depends on how many amens I hear and so forth. And all right, there's always a wise guy in every bunch. Anyways, but you know, we are to be a part of the business of God. We are to be a part of the family business. You're a child of the King. Number one, we ought to be part of the business of reaching people. That is soul winning. You know, there's a lost and dying world that needs to be reached. I think of people all around. I was doing a little bit of driving yesterday as I was out visiting. I was over in Middleboro and just going up and down some streets trying to get to know the area before I knocked on some doors. And you know what? Everywhere you go, there's opportunity. Everywhere you go, there are people that are dying and they're going to hell. And I have been told that about every 2.5 seconds, someone dies and slips into eternity. And knowing that we are the minority, and by the way, folks, tonight, we are the minority. We're not a majority. But knowing that we are a minority, that means that more people are slipping into hell than heaven. This ought to concern us. Boy, we ought to be burdened. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Boy, we ought to have a vision for a lost and dying world. We ought to have a vision for a bus kid's lost mama and daddy. We ought to have a vision for maybe a family member, a lost family member. We ought to have a vision for a lost co-worker. We ought to have a vision for those around us. We need to have a vision. The Bible says in Romans 10:14, the Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How they shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? I'm not talking about someone getting up behind a podium Sunday after Sunday. I'm talking about someone to take the Bible and go to the lost and dying world and preach the gospel to every creature. A man can do that. A lady can do that kind of preaching. I'm talking about taking the gospel of Christ and sharing the gospel of Christ with a lost and dying world. Doesn't matter who we are here tonight, that responsibility lies upon all of our shoulders. God commands it. Matthew 28:19-20, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hey, we all must be a part of God's business. We all must be a part of trying to reach this world for Christ. We all must be a part in trying to win this lost and dying generation to Christ. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, what part of the business can you be a part of? What arm of the business can you be a part of? Can you go out on a Saturday morning? Can you go ahead and pass out tracts? Yeah, and I mentioned this earlier today in Sunday school. I know that maybe not everybody has the eloquence of going ahead and telling people about Christ, but can you be a silent partner? Can you go ahead and grab a handful of tracts and put them in your pocket, or ladies, in your purse? I'll say that again, ladies, in your purse, okay? It's kind of crazy and weird when you see guys wearing purses. I don't understand that, but the truth of the matter is, you know, can you go ahead and take a handful of tracts and can you carry them in your pocket, men? And okay, ladies, can you carry them in your purse? And everywhere you go, maybe it's through the checkout line at Walmart, you can go ahead and give that tract to a teller. Maybe it's a neighbor across the street and you've never witnessed to him. Maybe you could go over and give him a tract. Maybe it's some of the lost soul. Maybe it's somebody on your bus route. Maybe it's a co-worker at work. You work beside him day after day after day after day, but he's never heard the gospel. He's never heard the love of God. He's never heard it, and you're the only one that could maybe give that track and give that opportunity to him. Maybe it's just you giving out a track. Maybe you could show up on a Saturday morning. Boy, it'd be great to double our attendance Saturday morning. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're a man, a woman, or a child. You say, well, why Saturday morning? You know, that's my only day off. But could you take just a little while? Could you just take a few minutes? You know, listen, when I was in Maine, I had the privilege and opportunity to go ahead and lead some people. I thank God for that. And let me just say this, I thank God I'm here. I thank God I'm here tonight to be able to even take some of the experiences I've had and transfer them to you. But you know, when I was a youth pastor, you know, every week, let me just say this, every week on Wednesday, I'd have at least 20 to 22 teenagers go out visiting. You say, listen, why do you say that, Pastor Reese? Let me tell you why I say that. Because today, teenagers feel, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You know, I used to consistently have 20 to 22 teenagers, I'm saying every Wednesday, go out, pass out tracts, go out and tell people about Jesus. I had teenagers, listen to me, go out on Saturday morning bus visitation. You say, well, you pick on me as a teen? Yes, I am right now. What I'm trying to say, yes, you can go ahead and pass out a tract teen. You know what? The ministry is not just limited to the preacher. The ministry is not just limited to a deacon. The ministry is not just limited to a Sunday school teacher or some other key man or key lady of the church. You know what? We all, if we all decide to do our part, you know what? We could go ahead and reach this area for Christ. We could go ahead and fill up the pews of this auditorium. We could go ahead and stir the baptismal waters. And you know what? For the cause of Christ, we could see people saved and see lives changed. Hey, what I'm trying to say, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can give out a tract. Doesn't matter who you are, you can go ahead and pass out a tract. Teenager, you could go to school and pass out a tract from time to time to a friend. You say, well, I'm not allowed to bring that literature to school. Well, then you carry a tract, and if you got a good friend and you care for him or her, you know what, later on, maybe when you walk home with him or on the bus, you might be able to give that tract out. What I'm trying to say, we all can do our part to reaching this world. We all ought to be about the business of reaching this world for Christ. Hey, let me tell you something. If you can go ahead and tell people about Jesus, I'm talking about verbally telling people about Jesus, then you ought to do it. You ought to make it a plan. You ought to make it a plan every single week to go ahead and take a segment of time every week and tell people about our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah, you know, I got a couple teen girls. They've been used to. I'm talking about my girls right back there. They've been used to going out on a Saturday. You know, it'd be tremendous to have a few extra ladies go out on Saturday morning. It'd be a tremendous thing. You say, what are you trying to do? Trying to boost our attendance Saturday morning? Yeah, probably I am to a certain degree. But what I'm trying to say is, you know what? It doesn't matter who you are this evening. You know what? We can. We ought to do our part to go ahead and be about our Father's business. Hey, can you join us on a Saturday morning? Could you join us some other day of the week? I have a man that goes with me a couple hours during the week. Maybe you say, well, Brother Sean, Pastor Weeks. Everybody used to call me Brother Sean, Pastor Weeks. Hey, you know what? I like to go ahead and go soul winning throughout the week. I can't necessarily go on Saturday, but you know, I could go a different day of the week. Hey, let me know. I'll sign you up and I'll go with you. Hey, you know what? You know why? Because it's important. It is very, very important to do our part to go ahead and reach this lost and dying world. You know, Dr. Curtis Hudson used to say, the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Christ. Why does he say that? Because the scripture says, Jesus says, go ye, therefore. He commands us. He already has commanded us to go. Okay? If I tell my child, okay, I want you to go clean your room, what have I done? I've commanded him to go, or her, to go clean his or her room. Okay? Now, if he or she does not do that, you know what? That's disobedience. Listen to me. You know, all through the scriptures, you know, the Bible teaches us so many things. God tells us, man, you need to do this, you need to do this. And yes, we often do all fall short. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? In this area of soul winning right now, what I'm talking about, he tells us, go ye. He's not real specific. He doesn't say, go pastor, though that's part of it. I need to go. He doesn't say, go Sunday school teacher. No, he says, go ye. That means all of us, we ought to do our part to try to reach people for Christ. Hey, I'm talking about the business, or be part of the Father's business in the area of reaching people for Christ.
Well, we ought to have a burden for lost souls. You know, you visualize, why don't you visualize your lost mama? You're saved tonight. But how about your mom? How about your dad? You've got eternal life. But what about that loved one? What can you do to try to reach him or her? I remember an illustration that a pastor gave in chapel one time at Hauser Anderson College. He went and he started a church. I forget the state, but he went and started a church. It's just an illustration that, you know, it happens to us all, really, to some degree. But this one just kind of burned in my soul as an illustration. He went and started a church, and he was out door knocking one day. And he came across this fellow by the name of Jim. He says, "Hey, Jim, I'm Pastor so-and-so from the Baptist church here, just started, and I wanted to extend the invitation to you." Jim was a very kind-hearted fella. Single man, very kind fella. And he said, "You know, Pastor, you know, I appreciate the invitation. You know, I'm kind of too busy right now to go to church." And the pastor said, "Okay, that's fine, but I just want you to know that you're welcome to come." But he proceeded on to ask Jim, "Before I leave, I'd like to ask you this question. If you were to die today, do you know 100% sure you'd go to heaven?" Jim says, "You know, Pastor, I don't know if I do. I don't know for sure." So the pastor went ahead and took his New Testament out and proceeded to go through the plan of salvation, went through the whole plan of salvation. The pastor says you could see the conviction in Jim's eyes. And the pastor says, "Jim, if God would take you just as you are, you've heard the plan of salvation. If God would take you just as you are, give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it?" And Jim says, "I'd be dumb not to, but I am not ready." He went on and told the pastor, he says, "You know, Pastor, I got a beautiful home here." He had this big, huge job that brought in the money, had a beautiful home. Went ahead and showed the preacher that he had like two or three beautiful brand new cars. Single guy, two or three beautiful brand new cars out in the dooryard. Went on to say that, "Man, I got the toys that everybody wants. You look out back, got a pool, got four wheelers, got everything that that man wants. I have it, preacher." He wasn't being boastful, but he says, "Man, you know what? You know, I'm very, very content. I'm very happy with where I'm at." So preacher to say, "You know, I know what you're saying is right. I know what you're saying is right. But right now I'm not ready." And the preacher pled with him. "But hey, preacher, I appreciate you coming by, but I'm not ready." The preacher went ahead and asked him, "Do you mind if I follow up from you on from time to time?" He said, "Sure." You know, and they soon became fast friends, just friendly. I mean, the preacher was so burdened about him that on a regular basis, almost every week, he said, he'd go by, "Hey, Jim, love to have you come to church Sunday." "I know, preacher, but right now I can't." "Hey, hey, Jim, have you thought about what I showed you from the Bible that time?" "Yeah, but, you know, I'm not ready, preacher." And time went on, week after week after week after week. The preacher was diligent to be in his spot. But Jim says, "I'm not ready." One time the preacher went by, Jim wasn't there. Kind of strange. And the preacher went back to his office and got a phone call from the local hospital. And he says, "Pastor, do you know a Jim so-and-so?" And he says, "Yes." He says, "Last night, he wrapped his new car around a telephone pole and he was killed instantly." Now listen, what I'm trying to say is that pastor, he hung up the phone. He said he just buried his hands in his face and just weeps and cried. What I'm trying to say, there are people out there today just like Jim. They hear it. I had it yesterday. I had a similar thing yesterday. I mean, you know, I always hurt when this happens. The very first door, you know, I didn't even get to know the guy, but I went ahead and started telling him who I was and that my son was with me, different things. "Thank you. Have a good day. Slam." Very first door. You know, that hurts me every time. You know, it doesn't hurt me to a point where I quit. So when I'm just saying, "Man, I'm going to keep on going to find me one." But boy, it hurts to know that that man rejected the truth. What I'm trying to say here tonight, folks, listen to me. What I'm trying to hear, you know, we need to have a vision for the lost. We need to get in the business of soul winning. We need to get in the business of doing our part to reach people. I don't know how you can do it, whether it just be a handful of tracks or whether you just showing up and being a silent partner with a soul winner. I don't know, but we need to get into the business of trying to reach them gems for Christ. We need to get in the business of trying to reach people who are dying and going to hell. We need to do our part. What can you do? What part can you have? You must, number two, be part of the business of ministry to others. Galatians chapter 13, I was kind of studying, I came across this afternoon. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, I'm sorry. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, Paul is writing to the Galatian people talking about the liberty or freedom given them. And he goes on to say, you know, don't use your freedoms to serve your flesh, but take what God has given you to serve others. That's what I got out of that. You know, we would keep ourselves out of a lot of trouble. We keep our flesh out of a whole lot of trouble if we would just get busy serving others. If we would just go ahead and get busy. You know what? Oftentimes we take the freedoms that we have and we serve ourselves. The flesh says, give me, give me, give me, give me. But the Holy Spirit, if we would go ahead and get busy serving others and serving God, the Holy Spirit of God, if you would let him take control, he says, give to me, give to me, give to me. If we would get in the business of reaching people, getting and also get in the business of ministry, some area of service in the church, serving God somewhere. Maybe it's riding a bus. Maybe it's going out soul winning in that particular ministry. Maybe it's cleaning the church. Maybe it's teaching in a Sunday school class. Boy, I told you of some of the vision that I have for Faith Baptist Church. Boy, I'd like to see some Sunday school classes started. I'd like to be able to divide our classes up more and more. Could you be a part of that? Can you get busy serving little boys and girls? Can you get busy serving teenagers? Can you get busy serving adults? Could you get busy serving God by signing up on the back table and grabbing a vacuum and vacuuming the carpets and cleaning the windows? Could you get busy serving someone? You'd keep yourself out of a whole lot of trouble if we stop serving ourselves and start serving God. Boy, you know what? He served you. Boy, God's ultimately, he served you by sending his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. And what can we give back to Jesus tonight? What can we give back to Jesus? What part can you have? Where can you serve? Hey, we ought to be in the ministry. We ought to be part of the business of getting involved in a ministry somewhere. What can you give? Where can you give? You know, there's a lot of opportunity around here. Boy, there's a lot of opportunity. Yeah, I said it before, the line's very short. Well, the line is very, very short. I wonder what God would do with a group of people here at Faith Baptist Church if we would just go ahead and take some extra time in serving him instead of just serving our wants and desires. Boy, the opportunities are endless. You know, I mentioned Sunday school classes to be started. I'd like to think within just a few months of being able to take some of these Sunday school classes and having them be what I call need filler classes. I'm talking about taking the classes and having a lady teach a first and second grade girls class and a man teaching a first and second grade boys class and dividing them up so that a man is teaching some qualities that a man should teach young men and a lady could go ahead and teach some qualities that a lady should teach young ladies. And I said it before, I'm not against what we have right now. We're doing what we have to do. But boy, it'd be wonderful to see some extra classes started. It'd be wonderful to go ahead and see some new things going on around here. You know, why is it that I want to go ahead and have an opening like this? You know, it's number one, to add to our Sunday school program. I think, you know what, you get the kids here and singing some choruses. You know, kids love to sing choruses. You know what, and if you as an adult would show up and be here, you know, I think you might catch a spirit of the kids. You get them singing choruses, you might sit back there and you may think at first, what about me? Hey, wait a minute. You know what? You can sing the songs just like the kids. If you would go ahead and come up here, and it may seem a little weird, but I want every adult to be here. I want every child to be here. I want every bus to be in here on time. But we'll set the kids up front, and of course the adults up back. But we'll go ahead and sing Jesus, 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 I got him on my mind. We'll go ahead and sing Jesus loves me, this I know. You know, kids love them songs. But if you catch the spirit of the kids, maybe you might love them songs as well. You know, what I'm trying to say here, What I'm trying to say, there's endless opportunities. Boy, there's a lot of things that we can do. Boy, I'd like to boost our bus ministry. What part can you have there? Can you go out soul winning on Saturday or some other day of the week? Can you do some church cleaning? Can you, you know what? There's rooms to prepare for Sunday school classes. Yeah, I walk around the grounds here, the building here. You know what? We got a couple rooms right now. We can go ahead and clean up, organize, put some stuff in totes. We'll keep what we need to keep and do what we have to do with other stuff. But we'll organize some things and we'll get some classes ready so that when the time does come, you know what? They're ready to be filled with little voices of boys and girls or teenagers or adults. Hey, what can you do? Boy, there's so much to do. The whole world dying, going to hell. What can we do to try to reach them? Where can you serve? I say, preacher, I need a place of service. I want you to come to me and I'll help direct you. I'll find out what some things that you have done and where some of your strengths would be, and I'd love to go ahead and put you in a place of service. Boy, there's no greater joy to see. There's no greater joy in being a part of putting a smile on a little boy's and girl's life's face. There's no greater joy than being a part of putting a smile on a teenager's face. There's no greater joy in going ahead and being a part. I'm talking as a leader, being a part of a teenager's life. Boy, there's no greater joy than that. There's no greater joy in all that Sunday school changing. Boy, it'd be nice to be able to start some adult Sunday school classes. I mean, more than just the adult class, but maybe some senior citizens classes or young marriage. Who knows? Who knows? As time goes, we you know what? But there's no greater joy in just being a part of people's life. Boy, there's no greater joy than serving others. There really isn't. You say, well, Pastor, that's being used. Hey, you know what? Boy, if I'm going to be used in that way, I'll take it. I mean that. I'll take it. If I'm going to be tired at the end of the weekend, bless God, I'll go ahead and take it because it's nothing better than for me. And I mean this with all my heart, soul, and mind. There's nothing better for me to go ahead and serve you. There's nothing better for you to go ahead and serve them little boys and girls in your Sunday school class. There's nothing better than that. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. It's just exciting to be a part of his ministry. Teens, you can be involved. You know, I've got several examples of teenagers I can tell you that have decided that as a teenager they'd get involved. You can work a bus. You know, certain guidelines that you follow and you could work a bus. You can go ahead and say, hey, you know, Brother Sean, Pastor Weeks, I should say, maybe now, but Pastor Weeks, you know, I could maybe go out visiting on Saturday. Hey, you know what? We do everything we can to try to help you do that. Hey, teenager, you can be involved. Hey, teenager, you can live for God. Hey, teenager, you can read your Bible. Hey, teenager, you can go ahead and live clean and pure. Hey, that's part of God's business. God made you, and he made you to be somebody. He doesn't want the world to go ahead. He doesn't want the devil to go ahead and chew you up and spit you out. You can live right. You can listen to the right kind of music. You can lift up Christ. You can read your Bible. Teenager, what I'm trying to say, you can live for God. You can be a part of this great ministry of Faith Baptist Church. Adults, you can be a part of this great ministry of Faith Baptist Church. Hey, little children, you can be a part of this great ministry of Faith Baptist Church. And then we must be in business of simply raising our families. You know, it'd be good to have family time again. You know, shut off the box and love on the kids. You know what? You only have them for a while, and I'm learning that more and more. I'm learning that more and more. You just have them for a little while. You know, some of you know, I see some of you shaking, you know it. Just a little while. A couple years. I don't know. Do stuff with your kids. Have a devotion time. As a preacher, I've been a pastor of some sort for the last 10 years, but you know, it was only till recently that I really decided, you know, I need to, as dad of my home, I need to have a time where I read my Bible with my kids. You know, I need to be more consistent with it. And generally, we have a time in the morning before school where we just read the Bible together. And what I'm trying to say, hey, you know what? We need to be in the business of raising our kids. You know, if we don't, as parents, do our part in reaching our children, who's going to reach them? You know, if we don't go ahead and set rules and guidelines in teenagers, in kids, it's okay. You know what? There's a word that boys and girls and teenagers alike, they do not like. They don't like that word, no. When mama and daddy has to say no, I know you don't like it. But let me just stop and say this, kids. It's for your own benefit. Your mom and dad, they've lived a while. Okay? Not to put a little age on us tonight. But your mom and dad, they've lived a while. And they know what the devil would like to do to you. And so when mom and dad say no, it means no. And don't you fuss back at them. Don't you go ahead and whine back at them. You know, in my house, it doesn't go very far. It just doesn't go very far. It just goes ahead and stops. And you know what? Most of the time now, hardly ever, I don't see it at all. But what I'm trying to say, listen to me. When mom and dad says no, well, why not? When mom and dad says no, teenager, you go ahead and put some wall up to them. And no, they're trying to protect you. And they love you. And they know what the devil wants to do to you. And when the preacher maybe gets up and says, no, don't do it. You know why? Because I love you. And I don't want the devil to chew you up. I don't want the devil to spit you out. I don't want the devil to have his way with you. Hey, we need to get back to families. Raising our families in church. Boy, we ought to bring them to church, and we ought to love on them in church. We ought to get them to Sunday school. We ought to be, you know what, as a parent, you lead your child in devotion time. As a parent, you teach your kids right from wrong. As a parent, you teach them that going to church Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning preaching time, Sunday evening church, Wednesday evening Bible study. You teach them that church is important, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. Hey, you know what? And by the way, your child will never forget that. Your child look back. I grew up in church. And I look back at the time when my mama and my daddy, they led me to church. And I thank God they did. I thank God for the truths of the Word of God that I've learned as a teenager right on up. I thank God that a mom and dad loved me enough to take me to church. We need to get in the business of raising our families. If we don't, if we as parents let our guard down, what do? We give opportunity to the devil. We give opportunity for the devil to go ahead and reach in and snatch them. You know what, kids? You are our tomorrow. You are the ones that's going to fill the pews of the independent Bible-believing Baptist churches in the future. And kids, when mom or dad says no, don't you buck them. Don't you push them away, because it's for your own benefit. Hey, what I'm saying tonight is Jesus. He was found in the temple. Joseph and Mary, they were concerned. Why hast thou dealt with us? Why did you do this to us? We're worried sick about you, Jesus. And Jesus, sitting in the temple, said, I must be about my Father's business. Tonight you're a part of God's family. What part of the business can you run tonight? What part of the business? I'm talking about the Heavenly Father's business. What part of the family business can you be a part of tonight? Can you go soul winning? Can you pass out tracts? Can you work in Sunday school class? Can you raise the children that God gave you and raise them up in the admonition of the Lord? Hey, what part of the family business can you run? How about you yourself tonight, you being accountable to God? Can you be accountable to God? I mean, can God use you in some area, and can you be accountable to God to go ahead and fulfill an area? What can you do? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I sincerely believe this might have been probably the time that Jesus, he found out his purpose in life. Maybe here tonight you say, Pastor Weeks, God spoke to my heart. I don't know how, you know, it's only between you and God. Maybe you can fulfill some place in church. Maybe you can do something more in your family and reaching your family. Maybe you can go ahead and dad spearhead a devotion time with your kids. Maybe you can go ahead and teach a Sunday school class. drive a bus, whatever the case may be. If God spoke to your heart tonight in just a moment, I'd ask you, I'd plead with you, don't push the Holy Spirit away. Don't quench him. Why don't you decide, I'm going to come forward and I'm going to go ahead and say, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I want to be part of the family business. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your book. We thank you for this gathering. I thank you for these dear people. God, there's nothing more as their pastor than for me. I want them to go ahead and just simply make it. I want your blessing upon their life. I want you to be able to work on their heart, and I want to see them grow. I want to see little boys and girls here grow. I want to see the teenagers grow up and do right and serve you, and I want to see moms and dads just flourish here. I just want people to make it because I happen to believe that's what you want. I pray, dear God, that we'll all be a part of your business. Thank you. If we're saved tonight, I thank you for being a privilege of being your son, a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus. Now, God, I pray that we'll all some way, somehow, decide to work in the family business. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Shall we stand? Shall we stand? Our heads are bowed and our